You're listening to Art Bank on 95 BFM.
That was the Beths, and we're about to get into our first interview of the morning with Christopher Ulutupu. Christopher Ulutupu's video performance art practice explores ongoing themes around landscape, photography, and the construction of colonial narratives. That's a piece of text from Heather Galbraith, written in 2018, so possibly a little bit out of date, but that's from Christopher's dealer gallery's website, Jana Miller's. And we're talking about his new work in the Gus Fisher exhibition, I Multiply Each Day. And this is a commissioned work. I'm just getting the title of that one pulled up. sometimes it's just so buried. Hidden amongst clouds. See, I have all this information, and then because everything's being done remotely, I interview people a week and a half ago and then have to try and scramble my brain to remind myself of specifics. So yes, the work is Hidden Amongst Clouds. It's a commissioned work for the Gus Fisher exhibition I Multiply Each Day, which is on until the 2nd of April. And it's a really fantastic two-channel video work extending from an earlier project, New in Town, which is a series of videos Christopher has been working on for the past few years. So Christopher is based in Te Whanganui, Atara, but he's currently down in Otepote as part of a residency. So we're going to jump into that interview now. This is Christopher Ulutupu. The work we're talking about is Hidden Amongst Clouds, which is part of I Multiply Each Day at Gus Fisher. And reading the accompanying essay, the work is connected in some way to an earlier series of yours called the New Kid in Town series. And I was wondering if maybe we could start by you talking about that series and how it led to this new work.
So New Kid in Town was this kind of like an ongoing series that I created in 2020 down in Nelson. And Nelson's one of the places I grew up, and it was the place where I started this idea that I'd kind of revisit different tourist spots around Nelson where me and my family grew up, and kind of reimagine those spaces. And I don't know if you're familiar with Nelson's got all these, it's very like tourist central in terms of like the layout. There's a lot of like outdoorsy things to do, and I guess there are places that I used to frequent as a child growing up, and my family would go have barbecues there, and so I decided to do these performances, these works there, involving my family. And I had a person, a male model, join us on that journey, and they kind of hung out with my family for a couple of weeks, and we did these performances there. And I guess they were kind of based on several texts and ideas I had about brownness and spaces. I was thinking of us responding to some writing from the James Baldwin's text around The Stranger in the Village, and it was the premises around the his experiences of doing an artist residency in the Swiss Alps during the 1950s, and him as an African-American man, for him talking about the politics of arriving in a space like that, and talks about blackness, I guess, in relation to being in a village that's filled with white people. And so I don't know, some of those ideas kind of resonated with me in my experiences of growing up in Nelson, and how brownness is somewhat of a spectacle. And that's sort of the basis of that particular work, and how that kind of, so those works were created and they've been shown in various shows since. But since making that work, I've kind of started thinking about what I've learned from that process, and kind of developed it into thinking about, not just about brown experiences, but I guess also like on an individual level, thinking about the people who are surrounded, I'm surrounded by, and what attracts me to them in terms of like seeing them on the camera or on the lens. And yeah, I started thinking about, yeah, I guess their innate power or like, you know, ideas around that.
You filmed this, like you said, with your family, and you've worked with your family quite a lot in the past few years, I take it.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you start that sort of, you know, when you turn a family relationship into a working relationship? How does your family feel about your video?
I guess it started off, so earlier in my practice, I think when I was doing my master's at Massey, I was referencing creating these videos. For example, the Into the Arms, they had some of my family members in it. But a lot of that time earlier on, I'd hire actors to play essentially what I would say represent like essences of people in my family or friends of mine. But then one project, I think I was doing shooting the second part of the trilogy, I realized that, oh, what if I just employ the people who I'm inspired by and involve them rather than hiring actors to play them. And that kind of conversation, I just, shot a work in 2017 with predominantly my family. And yeah, from then I was like, oh, actually I'm really interested in this dynamic. I guess prior to involving them in my practice, I think they've always been kind of never really understood what my practice was about. And I guess, you know, that thing where they go, oh, you know, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I'm an artist. And they're like, oh, you know, what is that? and so bringing them into the process has been really amazing, actually. And I feel like we've had lots of conversations because of my practice in terms of like kind of understanding people's takes on, you know, colonization or representation, and, you know, getting to know each other in a different way. I feel like, yeah, it's been an interesting process, and I feel like now I feel like it's the only way I want to work is with them around. And I think that's really just because our relationship has changed because of my practice, and I feel like, I don't know, I just understand them, and I think they understand me a lot better.
There's this long sequence when one of your actors, and I'm assuming, are they all family members?
No, so one is my sister Fame, who's here in my residency with me. she's in that work, and then there's Anna Scottney, who's an actor actually. She's the main person who's speaking in that work.
That's what I was going to ask about. That reading is not something one of your family members wrote.
So that one's an excerpt from Anna's own play called Scattergun. And I think it will be on, it's a play that's actually being shown in March as part of the Fringe Festival in Wellington. And I guess when we're, to give a context how that text came up, I guess what I like to do in my shoots, I think people, I don't know if they get this, but I don't actually work with scripts at all. And so what I like to do is bring all the people, all the props, all the costuming. I just take it to a location and the special effects or whatever we have around, and we just create a video. And I think in this particular case, I think I was asking Anna if she knew a poem or knew something that she could talk to. And she asked if she could perform an excerpt from her play. And I was like, yeah, totally. And when we filmed it, it was just so powerful. And I think I was a bit surprised and shocked, I guess, by the strength of the text. And I thought it'd be a great fit in this particular work.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful moment in the video. And it has such gravity, but also it has this kind of wonder to it, because midway through, the smoke machine starts going and the three figures start getting submerged in the smoke. And it feels very, you know, cinematic or like something from Macbeth. And I was wondering, you've alluded to the James Baldwin essay. I haven't read that one, but I've read some of his other work in which he talks about that time in the Alps. And you've also mentioned in the supporting materials with the show the connection to X-Men and Buffy.
Mm.
And I was wondering, do you tend to maybe begin projects of yours with these kind of literary frameworks or touchstones?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes I think sometimes I work backwards. So it kind of, like, I think I'm quite an intuitive video artist, I think, in terms of, I think I start by making, and like I just go and bring the elements and then put them all together and just trust that I'm saying something. And it's kind of, it, which is kind of confusing because I don't know what it is until I start editing. And then I think afterwards, I feel like sometimes I have to like figure out what I've created, and that's part of it. I don't know if other artists are like that, but I feel like that's what my process is. I just create and constantly create. And I never really base it on text to begin with. Only rarely do I do that. I think I did that with New Kid in Town. I think I did that because I based it on that text because it was something I was interested in at that time. And I did a bit of writing around that. But majority of the time, specifically for this work, I think I just kind of started shooting. And then it just came to me near towards the end what the piece was about.
So that's Chris Ulutupu talking about his work at Gus Fisher at the moment. And we're going to have some more of that conversation in just one song. This is Da Drive by Vegan. I believe that's off Vegan's fantastic and very long and indulgent new album. Jumping back into my conversation with Christopher Ulutupu. Hidden Amongst Clouds was commissioned by Gus Fisher. Does having a work be commissioned change the process of making the work?
I guess it helps, because for me, I guess my practice is really expensive in terms of flying everyone and paying everyone and accommodating everyone while we're shooting. And so in reality, although, you know, I set it up so that, you know, there's a lot of looseness in the actual making of the work. But to get to that point, there is a lot of preparation and a lot of costs that are assigned to that. And I feel like in my case, it can only happen if there's a commission. Because it's not something that I can fully fund by myself.
The work is particularly slick. And I think seeing your work 5 or 6 years ago, there was some of the, you know, the lighting was very good and the sets were really nicely constructed, but there was still a little bit of roughness around the edges, which is sort of what, you know, you expect in video work because none of us have Hollywood budgets. But this new video is so, you know, beautiful. There's this one image of a kind of bend in a river and you've placed candles on the rock that's coming out of the water, and it's just incredible. And I was wondering, how did you develop your skills from a camera perspective?
I have to let you know that, like, I am not skilled in any of those things. That's totally outsourced. But, like, obviously, yes, I make a decision on how it's framed and where it should be. But in terms of the technical stuff, I really believe that's an investment I've made in my technical team. So I have a, you know, cute crew of people who are my friends and my collaborators, who I consistently hire and get them to jump on my projects all the time. And we've kind of built a trust that we kind of build and build every time. So, for example, my previous DOP was another artist, Kevin Cartwright, who's a trained photographer. And I was doing masters with him previously, and he was great, but he's recently had a baby, and so he's becoming a father and go through that process, which I'm, like, super stoked about, but just means he is unable to kind of continue filming my stuff. And so me and my partner he studied photography a long time ago. He decided, hey, why don't I shoot your work? And so many YouTube lessons later, we've invested in a camera and we've been practicing our shooting. And so when it came time to shoot New Kid in Town, he shot all those works and he did such an amazing job. And I think I really do believe that people have to trust their team, and I fully trust Hazzy and his vision for the work. And he also shot the work Hidden Amongst Clouds. He did such an exceptional job. And then I've also got Kane, who does all my sound. He's also kind of all-around guy. He also does camera work and does a lot of other things. He's also a gallery owner in Wellington, so he's a very busy man, but he always takes time off to jump on these projects as well. But I've been working with him since 2016, yeah, so a long time now. And who else? Oh, and Kazmira Kreft, she does a lot of my stills. If I have enough money to be able to bring her down, I always try to be part of the project, because she's just a beautiful eye for photography. And it helps because my family trust her, so when she takes photos of them, she's got a really great relationship with them. And so, yeah, that relationship stuff is really, I think, important in my practice.
You talked about bringing together each video in the edit and how you improvise the filmmaking as it's happening. And I was curious, because in this new film, there are these three motifs. There's the candles, there's the mist, and there's the river. And I was wondering if you could talk about the relationship between those.
I think I was just kind of experimenting with this idea of like rituals or and it, you know, it's a reference from, obviously I started looking at like Buffy, and kind of like I'm interested in like The Craft, the movie, which is a brilliant movie. But I just thought about like witchcraft, and I think I was just kind of like, I guess the adjective I would say I was kind of exploring in this was kind of like conjuring and kind of like trying to summon something. And I guess that's what the candles and in the smoke was kind of evoking. And in terms of the river, I guess I have my own kind of like gravitational pull towards like landscapes, rivers, lake, naturally. And I think, I don't know, there's something beautiful about being near a river, something that I'm familiar with actually growing up in Nelson, where there are a lot of rivers. So those kind of like motifs kind of repeat throughout my work, just and then but in particular this one predominantly. And so I feel like this video is kind of like a marker. This video work is a marker for what my current interests are. And I don't know, I think I love this idea of like creating my own rituals, not being specific about them, because you know, I think it's just kind of like kind of whimsical, playful things in the video.
Well, in the essay that accompanies the exhibition by Delohina Lekamge, there's this mention of your video working with Samoan mythology and these figures that have maybe become used in fables after Christian colonization. And yeah, there's a kind of idea that part of what you're doing with your video is trying to find these figures outside of the immoralizing context. And I was curious, yeah, in relation to what you're talking about with ritual and with witchcraft and with those sort of practices, what does it mean for you to remove these mythological figures from the stories which often carry them?
I guess it's more like hypothesizing, or like it's almost like carrying into the future a little. I think of so I guess the, I did I was thinking of like this work. I was kind of referencing Ngā Whanaua, who is a goddess in Samoan culture, who is goddess of war but also goddess of prophecies. And I was thinking about like how she, because of her, one of her prophecies, she predicted when missionaries would arrive in Samoa. And one of the titles of the name Palangi, a name for white people, it's kind of like Palangi, which is like bars to burst, and Langi is sky. And apparently on arrival on that day, the ship burst through clouds. And I think that image to me is what I kind of based this work on a little bit. Like the mysticism around, I guess, colonization. And I thought that was an interesting play, I guess. And so yeah, and that's why we call Balangi Balangi to this day. And then yeah, and I guess the kind of the fables and kind of those kind of that type of storytelling, I think it does have this. It's like, I don't know, you read a story about Cinderella, or you know, these or these other fables. You, I think they're all lined with this like moral compass. And I guess for me, it's I was more interested in removing that compass altogether and kind of like, hey, how do you tell a story that is not about like who's good or bad? You know, I think that can be really limiting. And I guess the form itself, having a you know, a double screened, I guess I think I've I try the reason why I've created that double screen for this particular work was to try and remove and limit kind of a one meaning, or like, I don't know, a one reading. But yeah, I guess that's an ongoing exploration for myself. And I think it's something that I'm really interested in.
I wanted to finish by asking, since you are on residency with DPAG, what you're working on next?
I'm making a new work for DPEG for a show here. That's why I'm here. I'm doing my residency, and part of that is I'm kind of like, I feel like I've done the format at Te Tuhi. I made a work there, another commission last year, where I used the double screen, and I've done the double screen again for the Gus Fisher work. And I feel like there's something there about storytelling that I want to unpack. And so I've been doing that a lot while I've been here in Otepoti. And I've just kind of, yeah, I don't know, there's something about having two screens that is of interest to me in terms of, like, you know, why can't we watch a film with two screens? You know, like, and I think, what is it about storytelling that is kind of singular? Or I don't know. And then I'm constantly thinking about this throughout my practice as well. You know, how do you tell a story? How do you create meaning? And, you know, how much of is it the role of an artist to kind of dictate that? Or you know, what can they offer, I guess? And so those are some of the questions I've been looking at while I've been down here. And yeah, I'm looking forward to shooting some more, which will be in another 2 or 3 weeks.
So if you are interested in seeing Christopher's work, you can head along to Gus Fisher Gallery, and that is the exhibition I Multiply Each Day, which also has work by Larry Ashiampong and Michelle Williams Gamaker, and those are all video artists, and it's a really, you know, ambitious and grand exhibition of video at that performance video intersection. Also, Chris, which we don't touch on the interview, he has also curated the exhibition Wild Once More, which is on at Silo 6 through Te Tuhi Gallery. Te Tuhi? Yes, Te Tuhi. And that's got video works by 6 artists in it, so you can head along and see that as well. Yeah, but be sure to check out his work. We are going to take a break now with What About This Love by Dip in the Pool, and then some ads. And after that, I'll be back with a review of Mia Hansen-Love's new film, Bergman Island.
95 BFM's Art Bank.